When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today's stories include an Xbox showcase has been announced, an Xbox Direct is teased right after, and Todd Howard teases multiple unannounced Fallout projects. We'll have all this and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing, Addy Oye Jr. Joining me is the LaCroix Poppy, Tim Morgan Geddes.
What a morning it's been, Bless.
It's such a morning.
It's a euphoric morning.
It's a very euphoric morning. Oh my God. Of course, Kendrick Lamar dropped. Mm-hmm. Finally. Mm-hmm. After years of waiting, it feels like. At least according to Drake, it's been years of waiting. Me and Roger are going to break it down. It's funny the way it happened this morning where I'm getting ready to leave the house to come to work. I get a text from Roger and it's just in all caps, Kendrick dropped.
Yep.
And I read it and I'm like, no way. And I go to Twitter and I see the Kendrick link. And then I went to Spotify and it wasn't there. And then I went to YouTube and it was there. And I was like, all right, cool. We're just going to do it. And I'm fucking giddy.
Good.
Feel like I'm a child again. I absolutely love it. Me and Roger are going to break it down on today's Gregway.
Awesome.
And so if you want our extended thoughts, go to Patreon. Go check out today's Gregway. We're going to talk all about it. I love to see you clued into it.
There's a couple lines in there that I was just like, the 1v21, that got me, dude.
There's so many bars in there.
So good. Everybody, if you were interested in hip-hop at all, I'm sure you've already listened to it, but please, go listen to it.
Do yourself a favor and check it out.
Three beat changes. Come on, man.
I love it, man. I don't want to spoil anything. We're going to talk about the thing, but this is going exactly the way I thought it would in terms of Kendrick Lamar rapping his ass off.
Yep.
But I'm also, there's one part of me that's like, I wish he took it further. Like, that's the thing that I think Drake has on Kendrick, is that Kendrick, in his personality, doesn't take it far enough. Like, Drake is out here talking about, like, your splits and, like, you know, fucking Top is taking 50% of your stuff and all this shit. Kendrick is going to out-rap Drake. Kendrick is going to, like, give us the entertainment. But I feel like he's not going to give us that Pusha T.
I don't know, man. Some of the shit he says towards the end of it that I'm not going to repeat, pretty good.
Pusha T revealed that man's child. I don't know if Kendrick has that in him, you know what I mean? But I'm still in for it. I'm still loving it.
Yeah.
Tim, how's your week been so far?
It's been good, man. I mean, hey, yesterday we made a whole bunch of changes and everybody seems super excited about it, which is always a not just a relief, but it makes me feel really good. I know how hard we work here to do all this stuff. So when the audience likes it as well, I feel like that really, it hits different. You know what I mean? Because I know we have believed in this a long time, but to see everybody believe in it, it always feels very, very nice. And I'm extra excited because since these changes have happened, we're doing our Fallout spoiler cast right after this on Gamescast, live for everybody. And last night, I finished Fallout. So I cannot wait to talk to all of you about Fallout.
I can't wait to hear those thoughts. Before we get into it, though, Tim, I've been telling you I've been looking for a Pokemon game to play.
Yeah.
Pokemon Stadium is the one I chose last night. I know it's not the exciting answer.
Still fun.
I didn't want to build it up. But like last night, it was a thing where, of course, I'm coming off of beating Tales of Kinzera and then also beating Stellar Blade. And it's been so tough to find a game that I want to jump into. I've been streaming a little bit of Fallout New Vegas. But for whatever reason, like it's grabbing me, but it's not grabbing me to the point where I'm like hooked into it. You know, I'm booting up for the streams and I'm enjoying it while I'm playing it. But then when I'm not playing it, I don't have like the thing pulling me. I was sitting in bed last night. Just like, what am I gonna do? You know, what do I want to do with my time?
Yeah.
You know, my gym partner canceled on me yesterday, so I didn't go to the gym. I just had a lot more
you
free
went to
time.
The gym.
Who went to the gym?
You did last night, Pokemon Stadium.
Oh yeah, no, that's the thing, and I did because I went to Gym Leader Castle. And man, I know Pokemon Stadium doesn't get propped up as like one of the exciting releases of the N64, but it's exciting in my heart. I fucking love Pokemon Stadium.
I think it does.
Does it?
Yeah.
I feel like people go both ways in Pokemon Stadium, where it's like I feel like people hate on it a lot. But people love the mini games.
I don't think that they hate on it. They hate on what it's not. They hate on the fact that it isn't a full featured console RPG.
Yeah, but like what it is, I think it does well.
100%.
I just want to battle Pokemon.
I don't think anybody has a problem with Stadium itself. It's just people thought it might have been more at the time.
I guess my thing is,
and here we are years later.
I guess my thing is, we still haven't gotten it. We've not gotten it without bugs, without fucking monkeys paw curling. But I think I, for me, I just adore Pokemon Stadium so much for what it is. Like, I like the fact that you have Gym Leader Castle, and it is, hey, pick whatever Pokemon team you want.
So good.
The art, the animation, like, the graphical fidelity of Pokemon Stadium, pretty good for what you're getting out of the N64. Like, they animated all those moves. They have all those Pokemon rendered. Like,
the announcer?
The announcer. It's all so fun and fantastic. And yeah, jumping back into Gym Leader Castle last night. It's so fun. Mm-hmm. Like, picking whatever team. Like, I'm usually, in the games, I'm not out here cashing Goldeen and making Goldeen a part of my core squad. In Pokemon Stadium, I'm like, why not?
Why not?
You know, Goldeen's going to get the job done against Brock. Yep. And so, shout out Pokemon Stadium. And also, shout out to Video Game News, because we're jumping into it. Remember, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and on podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, support us with the Kinda Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free, watch us record them live, and get a daily exclusive show. For a chance to be a part of the show, submit your thoughts and opinions as YouTube Super Chats as we go. Housekeeping for you today, after Kinda Funny Games Daily, you'll get the Fallout Season 1 spoiler cast as your upcoming games cast. And then after that, the Nick Pokemon Nuzlocke streams continue. If you're a Kinda Funny member, today's Gregway, like I mentioned before, is me and Roger reacting to Kendrick's new diss track towards Drake. And you can get the Kinda Funny podcast on Patreon. Today's going to be the Kinda Daddy podcast, a one-on-one with Greg and Kevin Coelho, just talking about becoming a father. Of course, you can catch that live on Patreon this afternoon and then tomorrow on YouTube and on podcast services around the globe. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Carl Jacobs, Kieran Hovasapien, and Delaney Twining. Today, we're brought to you by Aura Frames, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have five stories today.
A Baker's Dozen.
Starting with our number one, the Xbox Game Showcase airs June 9th, followed by Call of Duty Direct. This is Tom Warren at The Verge. Microsoft is officially holding its big Xbox summer showcase on June 9th, as The Verge reported earlier this month. The showcase will air on Sunday, June 9th at 10 a.m. Pacific time, and will include a deep dive into the next installment of Call of Duty after the main show ends. Microsoft is only teasing the Call of Duty Direct as, quote, the next installment of a beloved franchise, but sources familiar with the company's plans tell me that this is indeed Call of Duty. This will be the first Xbox showcase featuring games across Activision Blizzard, Bethesda, and Microsoft's Xbox Game Studios. I understand Microsoft is currently planning to announce a new Gears of War game during the show. The showcase will also include a number of release dates for upcoming Xbox games like Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024, Avowed, and Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. We'll likely get a date on when the big Shattered Space expansion is coming to Starfield. Todd Howard recently revealed it's due in the fall, and I understand Bethesda is currently targeting September. Activision is targeting the next Call of Duty for late October, with Avowed and Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024 likely to follow in November and Indiana Jones in December. Now, this went up this morning. I originally had in the document just the original blog post from the Xbox.com. But Barry, if you can bring back the image, it is so obviously Call of Duty.
I know.
I was going to go into it and I was like, okay, we can speculate what it is. And then Tom Warren had the scoop and was like, well, it's Call of Duty.
Here it is. And here's a bunch of other stuff.
It's like you see the White House in the background. You see like the Cerberus like seal on top of it. And then on the bottom right, clearly the Activision logo. Like I saw somebody overlay the, like you can see the beginning of the A and then like,
that's,
I think,
funny.
That's the trademark at the end. But somebody overlaid it and it very clearly says Activision.
That is awesome, man. I mean, look. Lot to talk about here, right? Because this is Xbox getting so serious. They've been doing this the last couple of years, but here we are. The acquisitions are done. We're getting a showcase with a Thanos with the gauntlet. He has all the stones type situation, right? This is the first time we're getting not only the Xbox Game Studios, but also Bethesda, and now also Activision Blizzard. And they're straight up saying that. And they're like, yo, one showcase to rule them all of the things. And it worked last year when we did the Starfield breakdown as opposed to a Bethesda showcase itself. We're going to do that for one single game, and that game is Call of Duty. But it's interesting to market it as Redacted. Sure, it's fun. It gets a little bit of excitement of like, what could this be? But when it is so obviously Call of Duty, and when it's obviously Call of Duty, it's not like, oh, it's a new Gears, or it's obviously this, obviously that. It's something that I feel like they don't really gain much from being secret about, but they do gain from just being like, yo, it's Call of Duty, motherfuckers.
Yeah. No, this
so it's
is
interesting.
This is so fun coming off of the conversation we had yesterday. A few things. One, people in chat were correcting me. It's not the White House, it's the Capitol building. And what I have to say to you is, why do you recognize the Capitol building so easily? Where were you on January 6th? Aside from that, I think our conversation yesterday was interesting because we were talking about, how do you tackle Call of Duty? What's what, Barrett? Where were they? Why did they recognize it so quickly? I don't. You show me a pic of the Capitol building, I'm like, I don't know, man. Is that the White House?
Like.
I had a regular reaction to seeing the Capitol building. Why do you recognize it?
Yeah.
Where were you on January 6th?
Yeah. If you don't look at the Capitol building and think it's the White House, I don't trust you.
I don't trust you whatsoever. But yeah, like, we're talking about, how do you position it, right? Like, Call of Duty, I think, takes in so much air, or takes up so much air, that I would not want to see. I don't know what he's gonna say.
Oh fuck, it's scary.
My favorite January 6th moment was when, if you remember, we were streaming during it and we didn't know what was going on, but we were getting like slacks, like, hey, something's happening, as bad as it was, or we were just like, keep streaming, we will deal with it, nobody talk about it, no big deal. And I'll never forget, we're streaming hours into it and Bless just shows up and he's like, hey everybody. I'm like, hey Bless, how you doing? He's like, you know, holy shit. And he like looked at Twitter like, holy shit, he's just having the Capitol. We're like, we don't know. No, we don't know. We're not going to talk about it.
Nobody informed me. And I was on that. I'm pretty sure I was on that stream. I was on that stream playing games. And I'm like, why are we playing games right now? People are fucking storming the Capitol. We should do something.
Oh, God. Here comes Nick.
What's up, Nick?
I avoided it out. I could have gone way worse.
No,
way worse.
Trust me. Yeah.
Thank your lucky stars that he didn't get in his bag on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Greg Miller coming in with his favorite thing about January 6th.
Think about Jesus Christ. But yeah, like, Call of Duty is one of those things where I think it sucks up a lot of the air, right? If you have a Call of Duty showcase right after the Xbox showcase, what is that doing for both brands? Is that the strongest thing to do for Call of Duty? And is that the strongest thing to do for the Xbox showcase? I do think it brings in a lot of eyes to the Xbox showcase. And that's a weird thing to say because it's the Xbox showcase, which already has a lot of eyes, but I think you're doubling down on the Call of Duty faithful being there, which is a lot of people. Like,
for sure.
I don't know if that is a crazy thing to say.
No,
but
it's not.
Yeah, like, having that connection is going to do really well just for the Xbox showcase overall. I think it creates this overall, like, oh shit, all right, we're going to get maybe the reveal of multiplayer or the reveal of what's up for the next Black Ops. And I think that is an exciting thing for people. On top of that, so in the copy in the blog post, they talk about, yeah, you're going to have Xbox, Bethesda, and Activision stuff there. They name drop Activision stuff as being part of the mm-hmm. proper Xbox showcase. I'm so curious on, like, just how they balance all that. What are the bangers there? Well, are you bringing, like, the biggest Activision announcements? What are those announcements?
Yeah.
Because I just know Activision is Call of Duty at this point.
That's the thing. At this point, Activision is not many things.
Yeah.
Like, it is Call of Duty. It is Overwatch. It is the Blizzard suite of titles as well. Mm-hmm. And then it's a lot of legacy stuff, really, because they have completely just destroyed every single team working on anything else. Now, that can always change under the new leadership, but I think that that's going to take a little bit of time. But to your point about the placement of this Call of Duty event right after the Xbox showcase, seemingly tying them together, like treating it like it's one thing, but also being clear that they're different, I actually think is the best case scenario for what Xbox can do with this, because it is simultaneously saying, hey, y'all, Call of Duty is going to be there, but you can skip it if you want. Mm. But it's also saying, we got Call of Duty.
Yeah.
It's ours. It's Xbox's. You can get it on your PlayStation, but guess what? This gives them the opportunity to be like, look what we built here. Xbox Game Pass. You can get Call of Duty with Xbox Game Pass.
Now, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Are you excited for a Call of Duty Direct?
I mean, personally, no, but like, I am excited. I'm not excited as somebody that's not going to play the game,
yeah,
or whatever. I am excited for the sense of, like, I like showcases and I like strategic thinking and I would like the success of the industry going forward. And I feel like this is them being very smart about how to place their titles and build excitement again around. You brought up, like, this is going to bring in new eyes to even the Xbox showcase because there's going to be people that are interested in Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. I think that that's good to get more people into Xbox. And I feel like Xbox, jokes aside, every single joke aside, I legitimately mean this. There are dominoes here that are about to be knocked down. Like, we have back-to-back big titles.
I mean, when you go to, so the second part, or like part of the last part of Tom Warren's article that I pulled was him talking about a bunch of stuff that a bunch of info that he has, right? A bunch of scoops regarding what the rest of the year for Xbox looks like. And so, yeah, he's talking about Shattered Space expansion, that coming out. I think he said it's due in the fall. But he said he understands that Bethesda is currently targeting September. Of course, Call of Duty always comes out in the fall, but he drops late October. And then he says Avowed and Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024 for November. And he says Indiana Jones for December. We've talked about dominoes for the longest time. I think I'm of the mind that the dominoes have already fallen for me. Like, for what I expect out of the dominoes, I've never been of the mind that we're going to get God of War, Horizon, all this, like,
yeah.
What we see is like the PlayStation Prestige stuff, or even if you want to pull it into Nintendo of Mario, Zelda, like the 10 out of 10 stream of games or whatever it is. I've never been of the mind that we're going to get that from Xbox, because I don't think that's what Xbox is driving towards. I think when we look at what we got in the last year and you look at what we're getting this year, I feel like the dominoes are already there. I think they've already fallen. We're already a place where, like, I look at the rest of the year for Xbox, I'm like, yeah, this year rocks. I think this year is great. I don't feel that way about PlayStation when I look at the rest of the year for exclusive stuff. And PlayStation's gotten ahead of it, and they've told us, hey, we don't have any big franchise games coming out. So, like, I'm not casting shade or anything there. But, like, last year, at the top of last year for Xbox, I looked down the barrel of the year. I'm like, okay, cool. Redfall, Starfield, probably started off with Hi-Fi Rush. Damn, this is a good year. This year, I'm feeling the same way. Now, are those all games going to hit? Are they not? We'll see. I think the games that they have slated seem, Hellblade 2 looks like it's going to be sick.
Yeah.
Avowed looks like it's going to be good.
Bigger question.
But
it's not a write it off thing.
Exactly. Like, I'm not looking at thinking that it's going to be Redfall. Yeah. You know, and then Microsoft Flight Simulator is going to hit for that audience. And yeah, like, I think you have a pretty good year coming up. I want
to
go back to
the to go back to the dominoes thing about you saying that they're already falling. I'm with you that, like, I don't expect the God of Wars and all that stuff, and I think that's unfortunate. I think that we should, based on the talent of the teams that we're talking about and the amount of teams that we have, and here we have this Indiana Jones trailer playing. I do think that this is up there. Like, I feel like this should be their Insomniac Spider-Man is. Machine Games, Indiana Jones, a big licensed game, like different types of games, obviously. And I don't think that Indy has what Spider-Man has in terms of popularity, but I do think this looks like a major domino to your point that you're making. When I think back, though, to the last couple of years of Xbox and why I still don't think the dominoes are truly falling is I feel like there has to be at least kind of row of successes back-to-back to allow that to kind of gain momentum, because right now it kind of just feels like a bunch of false starts. And I think that when you have teams putting out Halo Infinite and having them get the reception that they did, the dominoes have not fallen yet. Yeah. Hell yeah. You get what I'm saying? Like, that's the big thing, is like, looking at this lineup, this to me seems a lot more, like, there's a lot more potential, because even looking back last year with Redfall, that was a perfect example of like, was not the dominoes falling, right? So I think they're in a great place now. Continue.
I want to go back to the strategy talk, because, yeah, I asked you, are you excited for a Call of Duty Direct? I'm in the same boat as you. I like Call of Duty. I'll play Call of Duty sometimes. Usually the Black Ops games are where I'll step in. I don't know why. I just like Black Ops more than the other brands, but Black Ops is where I'll jump in. And so this year, if it's Black Ops, I'll probably at least play some. But I'm not. I think them announcing a Call of Duty Direct doesn't do much for me, and I would probably think the same about most of the general audience. For me, I put Call of Duty in a similar bucket as when we talk about EA press conferences of sports games and annualized stuff. Like, it doesn't get me as excited. I understand Call of Duty is more exciting than a FIFA or a NBA 2K or whatever it is. But when we're talking about the strategy, I understand why you do it this year, as far as we want to have a Call of Duty Direct, because I think you're going to reveal the next game and you're going to plant that flag of, hey, Call of Duty is Xbox. I think this is the only year we get a Call of Duty Direct, though. Like, I don't think, Call of Duty 1 being an annualized thing, I don't think every year we're going to do a Call of Duty Direct. But then also, I still think it's a weird fit to just have that as part of the Xbox showcase.
I'm not sure I agree with you, because I get your point about this being the only year they do it during the June slot.
Yeah.
Because I do think that what they did last year with Starfield worked for them. And I can imagine that they're going to continue to do that, and especially since they have so many teams now, kind of do their showcase and then have one bigger deep dive follow-up showcase. And I don't think it'll always be Call of Duty, but I think it could be again in the future, depending on what they have to talk about. But I do think we're going to get a Call of Duty showcase every year.
Oh yeah, that I'm with you. Okay. I'm talking about like June attached to the copper kind of Xbox game showcase.
Yeah,
I think you should have a trailer. You should have something that is, oh, by the way, like, here's Call of Duty. Look out in August for the big blowout of what this year's Call of Duty is. But that also makes me wonder, what are we getting from the Call of Duty Direct? Because is it going to be just the regular, hey, here's what a single player thing looks like. Here's what multiplayer thing looks like. I think I'm going into it expecting, hey, here's the next Call of Duty, but then also we're dropping all the past Call of Duties on Game Pass.
And
I think this
thing.
Is when you do that.
That's the value.
I think that's why you have that Call of Duty Direct.
So even talking about the Activision stuff, they say that we're going to probably, you imagine, end with a trailer for Call of Duty and then go into the breakdown in the separate showcase, right?
Yeah.
So will there be other Activision announcements in the game showcase? Not necessarily. And like, I don't know that there will be. Let's start there. Do you think there will be?
In the proper Xbox game showcase.
Proper Xbox showcase besides Call of Duty.
I mean, I would think
new
updates.
Game announcements.
New game announcements? No, I wouldn't think.
I can't.
Like, I mean, I'm thinking about Blizzard. I don't expect much from Activision. I don't know if Blizzard has anything in the works. Like, we've gotten news about canceled games from Blizzard, so I don't know if there's anything new there that you would have to talk about. But yeah, something people in chat are saying Diablo DLC.
Yeah,
that's the kind of stuff I would expect.
For sure.
Updates.
Yeah, updates, and then the big thing would be some type of old school library of Game Pass content, right? And I don't know that it's time, but also it has to be at some point. And how exciting would it be to tie it into a Call of Duty showcase, like you're saying, and be like, hey, here's the new one, but while you wait for it, get on Game Pass now because they're all here, baby.
Yeah.
Or some rollout plan of like, hey, we're going to every month release one of them leading in or something like that. I don't know.
I think that would be the exciting way to go about it. And I think that lends to more of why you would do a Call of Duty Direct after the Xbox game showcase, because if we're thinking about the way Call of Duty usually does things, realistically, what does a Call of Duty showcase look like as far as even talking about the next Call of Duty? Usually it is, hey, here's the first beat in June, and then here's another big beat around Gamescom time, that is the multiplayer blowout. From what we got out of the Starfield Direct last year, that was a lot. That was a deep dive into what's going on at that studio. Call of Duty is not that kind of game.
But it could be now, right? This is an Xbox Call of Duty.
But like, we get a Call of Duty. I don't have any questions about Call of Duty. I'm like, cool. I know people are going to immediately be like, you're not part of the Call of Duty audience, which I get. Like, I'm not a hardcore Call of Duty person. But I still think you're doing this for not just the Call of Duty audience. You're doing this for the wider Xbox audience, gaming audience. I don't think we're going to sit there and be like, and here's how we designed the gun sounds for Call of Duty.
I would say it's going to be a more expanded upon, I forget what showcase COD was at last year. Maybe it was Xbox or somewhere else. But remember when they do like the whole, like, let's walk you through a level. And it's in the middle of a showcase that has a bunch of more things going on. And I feel like no matter how excited you are for Call of Duty or not for Call of Duty, when you show like an 8 to 10 minute like level walkthrough in the middle of a showcase, you're just like, all right. It's kind of boring. So I imagine this is just going to be a slightly more, like, who knows if it's actually 40 minutes like Starfield's was last year.
And that's
totally.
That goes back to my thing of, if it is a 30 to 40 minute thing, they're not going to do a 15 minute walkthrough of a single player level and then be like, yeah, and here's how our multiplayer looks, and then spend 30 to 40 minutes just breaking all that down.
I don't think so either.
More.
I think to Barrett's point, I think it will be shorter than the Starfield one. And I also think that you're right about like your gut take on this, but I do think that they could use this as an opportunity to change the narrative and change how kind of and boring and expected a Call of Duty is. You know what I mean? I feel like they can try to get more people in, get people that they've lost over the years, and do something different, treat it differently, and don't do a thing of like, look at this gun, we make the gun. But you know, anytime we see behind the scenes the people actually making the game, and especially now with how tumultuous everything's been in the industry, and specifically with acquisitions, I feel like a reset point for Call of Duty could be very valuable to Xbox as a brand and to consumers. As you know, what I've been writing off Call of Duty as just a thing that happens, but there's actually a lot of people that work really hard on making it an awesome game, and it doesn't always work. But I do think that we kind of all a lot of people, myself included, write off Call of Duty as just, oh yeah, it's just a thing that happens. Yeah.
But like, it kind of is. Like, it's a known quantity, or known quality, known quantity. It's a known quantity, and I think the people that are flocking to Call of Duty are flocking to Call of Duty. Like, Call of Duty doesn't have a numbers problem. Like, it doesn't have a sales problem. It's going to be the highest selling game of the year every single year. So I think even with the idea of, we don't want people to just keep continuing to write this off, you want to give it more shine, more sparkle, do you even need to do that? Like, it's Call of Duty. Like, it's going to sell regardless. I understand why you go about it, is in terms of, this is our first year with it, or like, this is, we want to make sure that people are connecting Call of Duty to the Xbox brand. For me, as somebody who, like, for us as people that cover this, and for us as people just like games in general, I would have been more excited if this was an Indiana Jones direct, right? Like, I think that would have us like, oh, fuck, we're about to get some good, like a good deep dive into this. Again, I think it makes sense on the business side and just on the strategic side of let's connect this. But I'm just curious on what is this direct going to be? Is it going to be interesting for the Tims and the Blessings of the World? Or is it going to feel like another Call of Duty showcase that we get every single year that is, all right, here's an 8 to 10 minute mission. And also, Call of Duty's on Game Pass. All right, see you guys later.
Yeah, like I'm kind of in between with all of it because I don't think that there's much they can do to make it really interesting to the Tims and Blesses. I just think that that is something that I don't even think they need to try to do. Mm-hmm. I do think, though, that they can make this interesting and make it the first time Xbox is owning Call of Duty, and that means even more than it sounds like. Like, I feel like this gives them an opportunity to show something that looks just different enough of like, oh, this is the Xbox era of Call of Duty. And I feel like tying it to that brand, and especially with Game Pass, like there's just a value there that I think they can get Call of Duty. They can somehow even elevate Call of Duty higher than it currently is to not just be an annualized sales megaton event, but to also be something that like people are looking forward to as one of the major dominoes, you know, not just like, oh, something that's just happening for sure. Like something that we're looking forward to. And also I'm so bad about the cycles of which Call of Duty team's working on what Call of Duty. I have no idea which one this is going to be. Is this an exciting one? Like, is this like one of those ones they're working longer on?
Yeah. I mean, I think anytime it's a non Sledgehammer Call of Duty, usually it's exciting. Cause that means it's Black Ops or Modern Warfare. Like, as long as it's one of those two, people are going to be excited about it. And that's not shade to Sledgehammer. I think they just get, like, the raw end of the deal by not being allowed to just do those brands. I think maybe the last one might have been actually Sledgehammer, but it was just the follow-up to the last Modern Warfare. But, yeah, like, I'm excited for it. I want to hear what people have to think. Of course, you can write in with your Super Chats if you have thoughts on, are you looking forward to a Call of Duty showcase? Mm. What do you think they're going to show off at a Call of Duty showcase? Write into the Super Chats. I want to read your guys' opinions. As you guys are doing that, though.
They're saying it's Black Ops. That's why it's all redacted. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Of course, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames is where we make all of our content now. It's also where you can go to get the Kind of Funny membership, just like patreon.com/kindoffunny. That allows you to get shows ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Aura frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. How do I, Greg Miller from Kinda Funny, know so much about Aura? Because I just gave Jen one for her birthday. I used the QR code on the box to preload it with photos of her and Benny. And when she booted it up for the first time, she got to see a sweet little message from me. I like this frame so much that I am actually legitimately buying one for my mother for Mother's Day. From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping for their best selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code KINDAFUNNY at checkout to save. And mom, if you see this before you get your Aura frame for Mother's Day, please act surprised.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy. Woo! And sadness. Oh. And anger. Definitely some disgust.
Rose!
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
And we're back with story number two. Todd Howard seemingly teases two unannounced Fallout projects. This is Kat Bailey at IGN. With the Fallout TV series topping 65 million viewers to become one of the most watched Prime Video shows ever, the pressure is on for more content set in the wasteland, and Bethesda is seemingly ready to oblige. In a new interview with Kinda Funny Games, director Todd Howard appeared to tease two unannounced Fallout projects, saying, quote, "We look at what we're doing with the Fallout franchise, and then we say, do we still feel good about it? I can't reveal it now, but here's our runway for Fallout as a franchise," end quote. He continued, quote, "When is season two happening? What are we doing on mobile? What are we doing in Fallout 76? What are we doing with this thing? What are we doing with this other thing? And then, and when are these things landing? And again, if I could snap my fingers and have them all be out and ready, I would. But the main thing is, how do we deliver these at a high quality level? That is always most important." Howard's oblique comments appear to suggest that at least two projects are in development, though it's unclear what they might be and when they'll be released. One of the projects may be the Fallout 3 remaster revealed in the documents accidentally published by the Federal Trade Commission, which also leaked an Oblivion remaster and other projects. The remaster did not have a formal date, but appeared to be targeting financial year 2024, which ends in June. Howard has also said that Fallout 5 will be arriving sometime after Elder Scrolls 6, and that he has a one-pager for the project, with Elder Scrolls 6 seemingly still in production, though. Fallout 5 may not appear until 2030 or later. Of course, you can check out yesterday's Kinda Funny Games cast for the one-on-one interview with Greg Miller and Todd Howard. I listened to the full thing live. It was incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic job, as always, to Greg Miller. And yeah, a lot of interesting things said in that interview. Did you get the chance? Have you gotten the chance to check
it out? I
didn't
get to listen to the whole thing, but yeah, I was popping in and out of it. And it's just like, yeah, it's just awesome hearing them talk about stuff. And I just love the way that Todd talks about games and how he cares about them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's a passion to it that's just super, super rad. But this is all very interesting, and it's nothing majorly surprising. We've been talking about this a lot with the Fallout show and its success. First off, shout out to it being as successful as it is. The number two highest performing show on Prime ever.
Insane.
Hell yes. And the fact that we're talking about 2030 or later for the next Fallout game, like, yeah, that adds up with everything we've kind of been theorizing. And that's very wild to think about. But I also think that with what he's talking about here, saying this project, that project, I don't know what necessarily means that those are real things or if he's just kind of talking, you know? But imagining that they are real things, what could they be, bless?
I mean, I'll think a Fallout 3 remaster and Fallout 5. Which is like the very boring answer, but I'd be so down for Fallout 3 remaster. I love Fallout 3 still remains my favorite Fallout game.
And where does Fallout 3 take place?
Where?
Yeah.
Oh, the Capital Wasteland, which is basically Washington, D.C.
Mm.
Yeah. And so it's like, it has that American feel to it.
Got it.
And there are cool things they do with that. I don't want to spoil it, but like, there's some cool things they do with it being in the Capitol. I forget the Capitol buildings and that. So I wouldn't have recognized it because I'm not I'm not one of those people that were there,
totally.
Tim, at the event. You know what event it was. I wasn't there. I don't recognize the Capitol. But yeah, they have like really cool DC iconography in there. And it's a really cool game. But yeah, like I think that's how you can get ahead of it. I think that's how you can get people more Fallout content in the meantime. I know 76 is probably the go-to as far as, hey, this is a live game that we want to keep updating and it has an audience for it. I'm still of the mind that even though, like, shout out to Fallout 76 for getting to a place where people are happy with it. There's a community there and, like, it's living and thriving. I'm still of the mind that you want a core Fallout game. You want something that is traditionally Fallout. You want something that is a single player RPG that is about you being a lone wanderer exploring the wasteland. And so with that, Fallout 4 being the latest one, and that being a game that is almost 10 years old, which is crazy to think about, but yeah, that game came out in 2015, 9 years ago. You gotta have something that's more up to date. I think Fallout 3 would be a remaster would be great for that if the remaster is good.
Yeah,
coming off of Fallout 4 remaster, I'm like, ooh, all right, this is launching a little bit rough. Fallout 3 is a bit older. I would want bigger changes. What's up?
You're saying, so the Fallout 4, you're calling that a remaster, the next-gen update?
I guess remaster might be putting it too much. The Fallout 4 port.
Because I would imagine, correct me if I'm wrong.
Uh-huh.
Well, you're talking about a Fallout 3 remaster. You're talking more of a Fallout 3 like remake, correct?
I mean, I think the wording in the leaked docs implied remaster. I'd want something that's a bit more like what we got out of Metroid Prime.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, make it the same game, but spruce it up, like maybe update the assets, make it something that shines a bit more. I think that's a game that you would want to do a little bit more than remastering.
But even, I know, God, this is such a stupid conversation with the remaster versus remake versus something in between, whatever, but like comparing it to other games, I would feel if they're going to go back to Fallout 3 at this point, it would need to be more than that. Like, I feel like, especially if we're talking about 2030 for Fallout 5, I feel like it would need to be more of a
remake?
A Dead Space remake or a Resident Evil 4 type remake.
I'd want that. I'd be so down for that. I don't know if that's what they'd be working on. Like, I think thinking about bandwidth and thinking about, hey, if you want to get something out that's easy to get out, I think you go the remaster route. I think a lot of people would be disappointed by that. I think a lot of people would be like, all right, like, I would have preferred just a ground up remake. But it's hard for me to expect that. We've not seen that from Fallout. And yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I don't see it in that way. I think that'd be the most exciting thing, but it's hard for you to hope for it. I just
feel like them putting out a Fallout 3 remaster, like, in the more traditional sense, just seems like a non-factor. Like, if they were to do that, it'd be like, all right, cool. I don't think that moves any needle.
I mean,
like, I'm surprised it doesn't exist already.
It gets you another Fallout product that's coming within the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going, all right, this year we're doing the Fallout 4 port for current gen, it's out. All right, we're working on the Fallout TV show. Somewhere within the next decade, put out a Fallout 3 remaster that kind of keeps the Fallout IP active while we really churn away on Fallout 5. I think my thing with Fallout 3 remaster is that it would take a lot of work. Like, with how Bethesda is sort of spread thin right now between Elder Scrolls and Starfield updates and Fallout 76 updates, I don't know if they have a team that'd be working on the Fallout 3 remaster. Maybe there is an external team at Microsoft or something that could be working on it.
Yeah.
I think that'd be really exciting. But again, I don't know, man. Who did the Crash and Spyro remakes? Was that Toys for Bob?
Well, some were Toys for Bob, some were Beenox, some were Vicarious.
Like, would you give Fallout to them?
Well, they don't exist anymore. Toys for Bob does.
Yeah.
As a separate entity now, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. I don't think so, but... Yeah, can you do me a favor, Barrett? I don't know what Fallout 1 and 2 look like.
Fallout 1 and 2 are like CRPGs.
They're like old school top-down CRPGs. Hold on.
Yeah, I just wanted to just kind of understand.
Yeah.
Because it's like...
I'm curious, take you back to the 90s.
Yeah.
I'm curious on what you'll think about Fallout 1 and 2.
Where do they take place?
Where?
California.
One of them is in California.
Really?
I think they're both California.
Are they both California?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. So like the same place as the show.
Yeah, cool. There's definitely connections to like the story.
Yeah, the New California.
There's some location
Republic
stuff that
is
connects
a thing here.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, interesting. This is this makes a lot of sense for the design of the Pip-Boy. You know, like I feel like that, like, because that's one of the weirder things for me. But okay, cool.
Dude, honestly, I was talking about this with, I think it was Andy, but what I would really want would be for somebody to, like, take up the mantle and make new classic Fallout games. Like, if Bethesda's like, hey, we want to be the ones that are helming the, like, numbered mainline, like, full-fledged 3D Fallout games, I'm like, dude, if you can give this to, I don't think Larian would do it, but if you could somehow make a deal with Larian to make one of these, or give it to InXile or somebody, like, I'd be so down to play one of these. The only reason I don't go back to Fallout 1 and 2 is that I'm scared that they'd just be too old.
Well, okay, now, different idea here. Would it be possible / interesting to do a Fallout 1 and 2 remake? But remake, like actual...
Oh,
like
turn them into
turn
what
it into
current Fallout is?
Would you be
Maybe.
Interested in that,
I
personally?
Would be, for somebody who has not played Fallout 1 and 2, I would be interested. I for sure... Actually, I would be pretty excited because that's new Fallout content for me that I've not experienced. And you're making it with like current engine stuff. I'd be so down for that. But for me, that is still... You're probably putting in as much work into that you would put into a Fallout 5 at that point.
Interesting.
But I'd be into it.
Yeah, it's like the same conversation that Persona sickos have been having, or it's like there's rumors of Persona 1 and 2 remake, and it's like, yeah, but like Persona 6, when are y'all going to actually, like, you know, get on that? You know?
Yeah.
The color's green.
It is green.
Fallout's green.
Holy shit, it's all connected.
It's all coming together. Before we move on, let me check Super Chats real quick. Oh, we can get to those later. Let's move on to story number 3. Square Enix takes $140 million hit in content abandonment losses as it revises its game pipeline. This is Wesley Yinpool at IGN. Square Enix has revised its approach to PC and console game development and absorbed 22.1 billion yen, approximately $140.9 million, in what it calls content abandonment losses. In a warning to the investment community, the Japanese company said it would recognize the extraordinary loss for the fiscal year ended March 2024. This is the result of a change in approach to Square Enix's development of what it calls HD video games, that's PC and console, as opposed to mobile and MMO. In its note, the company said it wants to be more selective and focused in the allocation of development resources. And as a result of the close examination of its development pipeline, with this in mind, it's taking the multi-million dollar loss. Square Enix did not name the canceled or rescoped in-development titles. In February, Square Enix had forecast full-year sales of 360 billion dollar yen. That's approximately, or dollar yen, 360 billion yen, approximately $2.3 billion, up 16.8% over the previous financial year. But it predicted profit would be flat at 55 billion yen, approximately $350 million. Square Enix said it was carefully reviewing its forecast to assess any impact from the write-down. A lot here that is interesting.
Sucks. I just hope that the day doesn't come that we get the Final Fantasy.
That day will never come. Final Fantasy is going to live forever.
Yeah, I'd hope so. But, you know, it does suck to hear this news and a lot of other stories around this and like this of Square games not performing, like the ones that need to perform up to the standards that Square needs them to. Having said that, why aren't they? And why are the standards as high as they are if they're clearly time and time again not being hit? It's concerning when you look at Square and you look at how many projects they've been working on in the last 10 years, and it's ridiculous. Like the amount,
dude,
just think about the amount of RPGs that they've put out.
It's, I mean, on one of the Blessing Show episodes last year, I think I did a category that was specifically a Square Enix thing. That was like wildest Square Enix title or something like that. And yeah, it's crazy when you think back to how many games have that Square Enix, like are Square Enix, but they aren't, they're such low key RPGs. Like I have opened Wikipedia and I'm trying to see, like I'm on the list of Square Enix games. I'm scrolling down to 2023 and it's taken me a while to get there, which is alone. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, totally.
But you look at 2023 as a year for Square Enix and they had Forspoken lead off last year, which already it's like, ooh. Fiat Rhythm, Final Bar Line. You have Octopath Traveler 2, which I know so many people. Theater Rhythm?
Yeah.
I'm mispronouncing it this entire time. I like Fiat Rhythm though. But yeah, Theater Rhythm. Octopath Traveler 2, which was a hit for so many people. Paranormasite, The Seven Mysteries of Hanjo. You had Final Fantasy 16, which is great, right? You have Ketsugu Danchi, Elements with Emotions. You have Dragon Quest, The Adventure of Dai, Infinity Strash. You got Star Ocean, The Second Story R. Dragon Quest Monster, The Dark Prince. Final Fantasy 7, Ever Crisis. Then this year, they started off with Foam Stars. And you had Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth. You had Saga, Emerald Beyond. And then as the year goes, right, you're looking forward to Visions of Mana, Dragon Quest 3 HD2D Remake, Dragon Quest 13, and Kingdom Hearts. Now these are just TBD, right?
Yeah.
Kingdom Hearts 4, etc. But yeah, you're looking at like in 2023, a lot of games there where it's like, do we need to release all of these? Can we focus in on quality? And then also,
well, what sucks too is there is a lot of quality there. It's just even with quality, you can only release so many games to similar audience, right? Like, because a lot of what you said there, they're banger games, or they're at least interesting to certain, like Star Ocean and Dragon Quest. Like those are Dragon Warrior. Those are all games that really, really, really speak to an audience. But how big is that audience? And are they the same audience?
And how spread then? How much are you spreading this audience then? Like for me, it goes back to Final Fantasy, where I played so much Final Fantasy in the last 3 to 4 years. We got Final Fantasy VII Rebirth just came out. 6 months, 7 months before that, we got Final Fantasy 16. Two major AAA games are going to take you tens of hours, anywhere between 50 to 80 hours to get through these games, and even more if you're trying to complete them, right? Those came out within 7 to 8 months of each other. Before that, Final Fantasy Stranger of Paradise, I played. There was Crisis Remake, Core in there somewhere.
Remake was 2020. We had Intergrade, which was the DLC for Remake, but it wasn't even really treated like DLC. It was treated like more like a new expansion, SKU, right? Yeah. And it was a new SKU. And then there was, Crisis Core. It's so much. It's a lot. And like I am of the mind that like the seven projects in 16 are different enough that like it doesn't feel like I'm doing the same thing, but it is targeting a similar audience with a $70 product that I feel like, that 6-7 months gap is simply not enough for the big tentpole games, especially when both of them are exclusive to a console that has not yet peaked in terms of install base.
Yeah. And I think they're understanding that. I mean, they talk about how they're like these losses are from content abandonment, and they are trying to rescope and focus in and dial that in, which I like. You know, like I hope I I forget if we've already reported on so many layoffs and so many things of that nature that I've forgotten if we've talked about Square Enix in that regard. But like, I hope we're not going to see that in like be the result of this of, hey, we're canceling all these projects, therefore all of these people are out the job. Like, I hope that's not the result. Common sense would tell me that that is the result. But at the very least, like, I do think for Square Enix, the smarter business move is scoping down and focusing on your main projects, making sure that those are shining and making sure that, yeah, we're not getting more Forspokens. Like, let's get more Final Fantasy 16 or 7 Rebirth quality of product and work on putting those out, like setting those out in a smart, strategic way. When you look toward the future, like those last few games that I listed on the list that are coming 2024 and beyond, it looks like they're honing in, right? Like, a lot of those weren't just random games that I'm listing. It wasn't, what was the one that came out a couple years ago? There was Harvestella and like Everyday Sunshine or some shit like that. Valkyrie Elysium, Dio Field Chronicle. Like, we're getting less of those as we go forward. And yeah, like, the big.
For now, we haven't had their showcase or anything.
That's true. That is very true. But right as of now, the future. The next four Square Enix games, which is all they have slated on Wikipedia, are Visions of Mana, cool. Dragon Quest III HD 2D Remake, cool. Dragon Quest XII, cool. Kingdom Hearts IV, dope. Like, that is an exciting slate. Like, those four games, those are all, I think, bangers right there.
Core titles.
I don't need to see that all muddied with just a bunch of random shit.
Yeah, man. We'll see how it all shakes out.
That's what I was thinking of.
Playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, there were very few moments that I didn't stop at some point and be like, how expensive is this video game? How is this real? And then you see this and you're like, well, maybe I was right to think there's no way this makes sense.
Yeah. Well, moving on. Story number four. Housemarque's teased Returnal announcement is a graphic novel. This is Jordan Midler at Video Games Chronicle. Housemarque and Dark Horse Comics have announced Returnal Fallen Asteria. Returnal Fallen Asteria is a graphic novel that will be released on October 22nd in bookshops and the following day in comic book stores. The graphic novel will be 88 pages long. To celebrate the announcement, Housemarque has released an animated version of the game's opening chapter. Returnal art book also has been announced to celebrate the game's third anniversary. No release date information has been revealed about the art book. It's cool, though.
Very cool. I will just say, in 2024, you can't be teasing shit like that on social media.
Yeah.
And that would be a comic book. It's just not a good look.
You just got to drop it.
That's unfortunate, but it is true.
Yeah. You got to, like, let Dark Horse tease it on their account and retweet it.
Mm-hmm.
Or just drop the news. You can't be like, you as the Housemarque account, you can't just, put up a Returnal tease and be like, tune in tomorrow and make it a big deal tuning in tomorrow. And then, have it be a comic book. I think that was a misstep. That said, like, I do like that this is happening.
Yeah,
I want
this.
I love Returnal, so I'm down for any Returnal thing.
I can't wait to read the first, like, 44 pages over and over and over again, and then you think you finished it, and then it's like, no, here's the other half of it. It's crazy.
Yeah, but then, like, that crazy. Second half is even cooler.
I know, dude.
You know,
it's fucking Returnal, man.
I love Returnal. Game. I've been thinking a lot about Returnal since yesterday.
I wonder why.
Maybe it's because they told you
to look forward.
And I kind of want to just pick it back up and play more, man. That was such a good game. Where's Housemarque's next game? Give it to me. Tim, the Returnal announcement might not have been as big as we wanted it, but we got a place for small news.
Yeah.
Where would I go?
God damn it. No. You had the words and you really were trying to put it together there.
Because we've, like, tweaked kind of funny games daily. I'm still getting used to the new tweaks.
Yeah.
And so I have to think harder. And I've used up all my brain power.
It's okay, Bless. I know exactly where you'd go. You'd go to our last story, the Wii News channel, where we cover all the small news items that you need to know about.
That's right. It's time for story number five. It's the Wii News. I'm not, like, screwed up like that in a second for that transition.
I'm so good at that transition. It's a Tuesday.
God. Wii News for you. Coming soon to Game Pass. Today, you got Have a Nice Death. On May 2nd, you got Tomb Raider Definitive Edition. On the 7th, you got Kona 2 Broom. On the 9th, you have Little Kitty Big City. And on the 14th, you're getting Brothers A Tale of Two Sons. Jackbox Games announced its newest addition to the franchise, Jackbox Naughty Pack. During the ID at Xbox showcase, the Jackbox Naughty Pack will be the team's first M-rated title. Yeah, that means mature, 17 plus.
Wow.
Let's get it.
I was at a bookstore last week, and they had like a pretty expansive game section, which I was impressed by, but they had like a lot of old school stuff. I found the very first Jackbox, like a CD, like
really?
PC, like, it was really cool.
I think we own that. Jack? You don't know Jack?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we own that CD-ROM at home. I want to try this out.
Oh, for sure.
I'm scared that it's going to turn... Like, I'm scared that Cards Against Humanity has already ruined what this is. Because we've gotten, like, the immature, like, mature party games so much. And, like, it's... Already, Jackbox is the game that people are just putting in Dick and Cum for all the answers.
Yeah, for sure.
For Quiplash. But so I don't know if we've already, like, exhausted this.
The thing about Jackbox, though, is, like, I appreciate that they just make the games, like, simple. And are just like, yeah, I mean, it reminds me a lot of Kinda Funny Games Showdown.
Yeah.
It just take games that work, and you just tweak them just a little bit. Don't need to get crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that Jackbox to me is like, it's just a good way to play familiar games. So if this is just a good way to digitally play Cards Against Humanity, that's all it needs to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're
right.
I'm not looking for Cards Against Humanity 2.
That's true. Yeah. I'm excited about this, though. I'm definitely going to see if I can make my friends try it.
Yeah.
It's going to take some convincing, but I'll see if I can get them there. Ubisoft announced that Assassin's Creed Mirage will be launching on June 6th on the App Store for iPhone 15 Pro, iPhone 15 Pro Max, and iPad Air and iPad Pro with M1 chip or later. This is from Gamatsu. A Switch version of Hi-Fi Rush was rated by PEGI alongside the PS5 version today.
How crazy is it that Hi-Fi Rush came out on PlayStation and not Switch? Remember, all of us were like, oh man, Hi-Fi Rush is coming to Switch.
It's going to be Switch.
It's coming to Switch. And then it just
Switch 2 launch day, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go.
It's so funny.
Front Mission 2 Remake is out today. Loop Hero is out today on mobile. Funko Fusion launches September 13th on Xbox, PS5, Switch, and PC. Dungeons of Hinterberg launches July 18th on Xbox Series and PC. Dragon Ball Sparking got a new trailer, and it looks dope. Have you seen this trailer?
No, I haven't.
It looks incredible.
This last one, though, bless.
Star Wars Hunters will be launching worldwide on iOS, Android, and Nintendo Switch on June 4th.
What? No way.
No way.
I do not believe.
Star Wars Hunters? Really? Finally?
A game that simultaneously I cannot believe is not out yet and I can't believe is coming out? What?
Where did they announce this? Why are they announcing it like a wet fart? Like, this was revealed, I'm pretty sure, at a Nintendo Direct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Forever ago. Holy cow.
All right.
Well, that's it for Wii News. I was going to make the Dragon Ball Sparking thing a main news story, but I was like, it doesn't even be a main one. But man, I'm excited for this video game.
Yeah.
It looks really cool.
Can you pop that up, Barrett? I'd love to see.
Yeah. Look up the latest trailer.
What is it?
It's just more character reveals. Dragon Ball Sparking is like it's Tenkaichi 4.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Awesome. But the trailer is like, it's revealing more characters that are going to be in the game, and they do like, it's the like a master and apprentice trailer, and mm-hmm. so they show off it's like Master Roshi fighting against I think Yamcha and Krillin, and like basically like a bunch of apprentices and masters, right? And like one of them is future Trunks and future Gohan without like, and Gohan's missing an arm, and I'm like, this is fucking sick. And like, just the art style looks good. Like I've hyped myself up for anime arena fighters in the past and have been disappointed. I love Tenkaichi so much, and I'll even say I've hyped myself up for Dragon Ball Z arena fighters in the past. Shout out to Ultimate Tenkaichi and the Raging Blast games and Burst Limit and all these things. I'm always disappointed, but this just looks so good to me. Like, this just looks fun. The art style looks great. It's bringing me back to Tenkaichi.
Here's a weird question for you. Is there anything so far announced about this game that gives you pause?
That's a good question. Not really. I think just what it is. Like, I think the peak of this genre of game was earlier 2000s, like 2004. I think the peak of this genre was Tenkaichi 3. And so we've gotten so many of those. I know plenty of people like the Ultimate Ninja stuff, but I think even that has gotten old. That's gotten stale. And so,
what's this guy's name?
The purple guy?
Yeah.
Beerus. He was part of Dragon Ball Super. I've not seen Super. But I see Beerus everywhere. Everybody's hyping up Beerus.
He's tight.
But yeah, like, we've gotten so many of these types of fighters, and they've just been like, all right, cool. Okay. Like, I think My Hero One's Justice was when Jump Force came through, and that was a fucking wet fart.
Oh my god, Jump Force.
Yeah, dude, remember Jump Force?
That trailer? Remember the Jump Force like debut trailer that ended with Light Yagami opening the Death Note? And it was like, what the fuck?
And you know what? I think that's actually what gives me pause, is that Jump Force was the apex of me getting hype. Mm. Me being like, this looks so fucking, finally, it's the anime crossover game I've always wanted. That's not J-Star Victory Versus on the 3DS. Oh yeah, on like GBA and shit.
With Optimus Prime.
Yeah, like finally, it's I'm playing as Yugi Moto.
Fuck yeah.
against Yusuke Urameshi. It's everything that I want. And yeah, like it came out, just wasn't good. Mm. And so it's like, why would this be any different? We're in 2024. We're not in 2004 anymore.
Is Tenkaichi in the name?
No, they changed it. No, but that's because Sparking is what those games were called in Japan.
Okay, so it's kind of it very much is a sequel to those games or a follow up of it. All right. So
when they first announced it, they announced it as Tenkaichi, and then they announced it as the sequel to Tenkaichi 3.
Okay.
And then when they officially revealed it at Game Awards, they were like, it's called Dragon Ball Sparking Zero. So it's almost like Tenkaichi Zero in a way.
Interesting. That's cool.
It's really cool.
I'm happy it's happening. They're doing all the right things. More than anything. But yeah, like so far it looks good. And I to your point, like I wonder if you can kind of re-peak after that 2004 high. But
it's almost the way we talk about Crazy Taxi.
Yeah.
But in a different way, where it's like if we got a bunch of Crazy Taxis that proved mm-hmm. that Crazy Taxi doesn't work anymore, but then they announced a new Crazy Taxi follow-up.
Hilarious.
That's kind of where it's at, where it is. Man, it's been such a long time since we've gotten a fucking fantastic one of these. And I don't even know if these work anymore. Like, is the world ready? has the world moved on?
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see.
I
think it's slated for this year. So, man, Jump Force had some good trailers.
Though. It could have been the Smash Brothers.
It's a cool trailer, dude.
How was it not? How did they fuck this up?
I even played this at PAX. PAX West. They had this.
Let's go.
Like, come on, dude. They had this right next to My Hero Wants Justice, which was the My Hero Academia like arena fighter. And cool. I played My Hero Wants Justice and I was like, this is garbage. This is so bad. It was
That's
so bad.
If you're
that
playing any 3D arena fighter, I'm sorry. Like it always feels just like so weird.
It felt so bad and so slow and so like janky. And right next to it, they had Jump Force. And for me, I hated playing My Hero Wants Justice so much that I played Jump Force and I was like,
You're trying to gaslight yourself.
Like I just played a bad one that's right next to this. This Jump Force game isn't as bad as that. It seems fine, and then Jump Force came out and it was hated.
Damn.
I know.
Mm.
Tim,
mm-hmm.
Let's bring in a couple of super chats for you. Mara says, with the new format of the Games Cast and the Rising Tide DLC releasing fairly recently, is it finally time for a Final Fantasy 16 spoiler cast?
Potentially. Again, I'm not promising anything yet, everybody. But we're doing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth this Friday. Tweet at me. Get your questions in for that. It's going to be live for everybody. It's going to be a great time.
I hope this never dies. I like this as a bit. Every week, people writing in about Final Fantasy 16 when the spoiler cast is happening.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be honest. Just at this point, it's going to be hard to do a great spoiler cast about a game that I played a year ago. You know what I mean?
I'll be honest. I don't remember shit that happened.
I remember a lot, and I
remember
talk
like all
about
the big
lot.
Bosses. Yeah. I remember the homeboy just fucking banging on the ground because he's so fucking mad.
Titan, so angry.
He's so mad. They hated each other so much.
You gotta play the new DLC.
My heart is like rushing thinking about it. How much they hated each other.
You can let your heart rush again with the Leviathan fight.
You're convincing me. I loved it. Mike Dememe writes in and says, "Bless. All I gotta say is euphoria. Euphoria, indeed." DJ Kento writes in and says, anytime Forgotten Square RPGs get mentioned, I gotta talk up Racing Lagoon, the drift racing JRPG from the CGI director of Parasite Eve and the director of Final Fantasy X 2. Barrett, can you bring up Racing Lagoon?
That sounds awesome.
That sounds sick as hell.
Also, shout out to Final Fantasy X 2. We do not talk about it enough.
Like, you're telling me they made a Tokyo Drift JRPG that Tim Geddes has?
I feel like it's not oh, wow, it is this type of racing. Interesting. I thought it was going to be more like the rally type drifts.
It was like a classic 90s RPG.
High speed driving. PS1.
This
for
the very PS1. Initial decoded. I love it.
Revival of Yokohama's fastest
legend. Fuck, dude.
Wait,
DJ
really?
Kenta, why have you never told me about this? Wait, what? What's going on?
So we're looking at racing gameplay.
Interesting.
But is it a GRP? It looks like just like a race game. Race game. Racing game.
Did you ever get into Initial D?
No.
Oh, man.
I liked Extreme G. How different is that? They sound like they're in the same franchise. told me to stream. You told me Extreme G isn't three games away from Initial D. Come on, man. They're just going down the alphabet.
You're right.
Wait till we get to F-Zero. Thank you, Barrett. I didn't know who was going to hit. I was nervous about that one.
No, that was good.
Thank you.
That was good.
We got one from Street Shadow who writes in and says, we need a One Piece fighter. Roster would be wild. Just be happy we're getting a Hunter x Hunter fighting game. Let's be happy that we're getting a Hunter x Hunter fighting game. And you'll get a One Piece fighting game. I think that's inevitable. We just got One Piece Odyssey. And so you're getting that. You're going to get a One Piece fighting game eventually. They're going to do it.
Maybe.
That's it for Super Chats. Tim, now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Rewrite and let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong so you can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Let's see here. Banner Sense says, more context for this year's Black Ops. Treyarch has had an extra year to develop this entry as the last game, Black Ops Cold War, was 2020. This was supposed to come out in 2023, but was given the extra time and swapped for Modern Warfare 3. Treyarch has never been given this much time for a new COD.
Exciting.
That is exciting.
Exciting.
Honestly, if you can come out at the Call of Duty Direct and really sell it as being an exceptional Call of Duty, I think that would be an exciting Direct.
They have the opportunity.
We're
now
revamping single player campaigns, or let me just say campaigns because maybe it's co-op or whatever. We're making campaigns even bigger and doper. We're doing this with zombies, multiplayer. It's gonna be 1,000 players in one map. Like, let's do it.
Yeah,
let's make it hype. Kebab says the Crash Insane trilogy was Vicarious Visions, Spyro Reignited, and Crash 4 were Toys for Bob. CTR Nitro Refueled was Beenox. Joseph Joey. Joe says Beenox still exists. And then Kebab says Beerus debuted in Dragon Ball Z Battle of Gods, which predates Dragon Ball Super by two years.
Yeah, dude.
Battle of Gods.
God, I don't have the time for this. So like, let's not even go down the rabbit hole. But I just want to let you know, Bless, I've been flirting with getting into Dragon Ball Z more and more.
I'll tell you right now, if you ever wanted to start a Dragon Ball Z podcast and do just a watch through Dragon Ball, I'm in. You have my sword.
Okay, good to know.
I know
good
we just
know.
Increased the amount of content that we make just yesterday. But listen, Dragon Ball Z in review, it rolls off the tongue.
Because I've been like just dabbling enough of pulling up like YouTube videos of just montages of like every transformation or every Super Saiyan. I'm just this is great. This is just all I could want in life. Dude, it's just dudes yelling and colors changing and powering up.
Have you ever seen Trunks versus Mecha Frieza or Meta Frieza?
No, I can't say I have.
Because it is so like basically Frieza comes back from the dead. I think it's him and you're kind of funny chat. Let me know the details I fucked up. But I think it's him and Cooler. Mm-hmm. And like they're coming back, like Frieza looks like basically like he's been put back together. He's all fucked up and shit. And it's like, oh shit, Frieza's back. And this is like how they introduce Trunks. Trunks is like, I think he comes back from the future at this point.
Trunks is the dude with the dope ass purple hair. Split.
Yeah,
right?
He has the sword. He's like the first character that had a sword.
Whoa.
He shows up.
Sick ass bomber jacket.
Yeah. He shows up and Frieza's like, all right, his hands, like we're about to fight. And Trunks fucking busts out the sword. One swipe cuts Frieza in half. It's like a cut and you see the cut go through and Frieza legitimately goes he goes from one being to then two separate halves, like splits right in front of our eyes. It's incredible. And that's how they introduce Trunks.
I fucking love it.
Like takes out the dopest motherfucker in the game. It's incredible. Tim, that's been it for Kind of Funny Games Daily. Of course, each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and on podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, support us with the Kind of Funny membership on Patreon or on YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free. Watch us record them live and get a daily exclusive show. Enjoy the Gamescast after this. It's, of course, going to be our Fallout Season 1 spoiler cast. Until next time. Game Daily.